1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11 tonight. 1 John 4, 7 to 11. The book is about God's love for us and how we should love God and others. We definitely need to love one another as Jesus told us to in this world. And that's one thing that's up to us, to love one another. In our text today, John gets back to the topic of love. He departed from that last week. About this agape love, we study again. That deep love, that sacrificial love, that active love. The world has so distorted the word love. But in our troubled times, I think we see people realizing that that's the thing that's needed to heal our land and our world, and that's love. We never condone sin, but we're to love one another. And love, according to the Bible, this agape love, is sacrificial, and it's also active. You can't just say you love, it will be demonstrated. And you know, it's a sign that we are born again. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. If you love your brother, you're abiding in Jesus in the light, and you won't be stumbling. When you don't love, you stumble. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. We definitely must love each other as Christians, that's for sure. But we are to love all people and even our enemies. But this love for each other should really be a sign that we're joined together. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We don't just love in word and in tongue. Our love must be demonstrated. It shows. And we don't wait for the other person to demonstrate their love for us. We do it first. We are to love. And there's a lot of ways to demonstrate your love for another person. A lot of little things you can do rather than just say it. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of John 13, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When you read the Bible, you get one theme, love, love, love. And the Bible deals much with it. See, love is the key to our faith. That's key to our faith. I don't know that there's any others that preach this kind of love, any religions. We are to love, and that's demonstrated by our actions. That's what separates us. It's not the world's kind of love, because the world's kind of love, they can love one person but hate the other. They can love people in their family but hate their neighbor. That's the world's kind of love. It's selective. The New Testament teaches us Christians to love one another. We are family and we are God's children. And we need to get the point about love. Why is love so emphasized in the New Testament in the book of John, 1 John? Why is it so emphasized? You think Jesus shared it. We've seen it in other places. Why does it keep telling us to love one another? First of all, God wants us to get the point that problems aren't going to be solved any other way. I was thinking about this. If we all loved one another, we would not have any problems like we have today. If we loved God, we wouldn't have the problems we have today. Why is it so emphasized in the Bible? Well, if you look down to verse 8, the second part of it, for God is love. Because God is love, and he wants people to know about him. God is love. What a description of God. God is love. It doesn't say God loves, and he does. God so loved the world. but it doesn't say that to describe him. It just says God is love. We'll get back to that when we get into verse 8. But that's why we're to love, because God is love and we're his children. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We have a song like that, right out of 1 John 4:7. Beloved, he's speaking to believers. Number one, let us love one another. Let us love one another. This is our aim, our desire, really our duty to love one another. And it's our choice. He says, love, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God. Love is of God. In other words, God is the origin of love. Without being a born-again Christian, you really can't understand that deep love. People don't understand how a Christian, and we see this so often, who just had their child murdered or killed in an accident, can be forgiving to the other person. And you see that a lot, where they just say, I forgive them, and I pray for them. The world can't understand that. How when someone does you harm, you can love them and pray for them. If you do, you will make it through the hardships. If you don't, you will fall apart. We choose to love. God is the origin of love, and so we're to love others. You know, we have in us, because of knowing God, this love for God and this love for others. Because love, let us love one another, for love is of God. It starts with God, and we know God. We've been born again, we're new creatures in Christ. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And many believe the other things listed here come out of that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. That's love. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. We would all like to be around people like that. That's living in a loving environment, being this way. We're the ones that can bring that to people. Because we know God, therefore we know love. Now, we don't work this love up. So I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to find some books on love, or I'm going to do a study on love, and I'm going to be this loving person. Well, no, you won't. Because you already have the Holy Spirit. I already have the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting the natural fruit come out of me. You see? We don't have to work at being loving. It's a matter of not quenching the Spirit or resisting the Spirit or getting, it's not, you know, not getting in the flesh. It's just allowing God who dwells in us, or literally the Holy Spirit, to flow from us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and gentleness and kindness and goodness should just follow. I know this, when we don't love and you're angry, you're unsettled inside. We don't like that. There's a lot of people fretting right now and troubled in our country because of what's going on and what's been said, and fretful. And people are wondering, is there, are we going to battle each other again? Well, we know what the answer is: love. We love God and we love others, you see. And when we have that in us, we can be at peace. We can't work it up and we can't legislate love. That's why it's so important for us to share the gospel, so that people would come to know Christ and that love would be a natural characteristic of their life. You can't say, love or I'm going to kill you. There's nothing you can do to make a person love. But God can naturally produce it in a person because love is of God. If a person wants, if they're seeking love, tell them to go to God. It says, for love is of God. And when I don't walk with the Lord, when I don't walk in the Spirit, when I don't yield to the Spirit, give in, when I get in the flesh, I'm not loving. I'm fleshly. It's there, but I quench the Spirit. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1 to 5, it tells us, we've been made spiritually alive. We now have the Holy Spirit. I can choose to love or not love. You know, Sunday we went over that. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, verse 32, one of the verses we went over. Ephesians 4, verse 32. This is what we should be doing. He went over what we shouldn't be doing because in verse 3 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. All those previous things he was talking about. But then in verse 32, he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God and Christ forgave you. We need to love one another as Christians so that people can see we're different as a unit. We can see hate groups. How do we know who the hate groups are? By their actions. It'd be nice if people said, oh, they're part of the Christians protesting because they all love one another. Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, there's the hate groups and there's the Christians. Because we love one another. We're tender-hearted. We're forgiving. 1 Corinthians 13, please. 1 Corinthians 13. He talks about this love. A lot of times we'll read these chapters on love and his encouragement to love. And a lot of times I feel, boy, I really love. You know, the Bible teaches us to love and I love each other. And, you know, I'd like to think I love like God wants me to love. And then I read 1 Corinthians 13. And he talks about how important love is. It's better than anything else. You know, if I don't have love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know, I can prophesy. You know, I can have faith to remove mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. But then he goes on to talk about this love, describe it, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. We need to be long-suffering and not quick-tempered or discouraged with people. We need to be long-suffering and is kind. It does not envy or parade itself. It's not puffed up. It's not proud or arrogant. It does not behave rudely. We can act pretty rude to people if we don't watch ourselves. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. See, if we have the love of God in us, it's not going to end. Circumstances aren't going to change it. We can grieve and weep and get, as we said, you have a righteous anger at sin. We said that Sunday. But we still love the person, pray for them, want to see everybody saved. So back to our text, verse 7, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's how they determine the one who is a born-again Christian. You notice it said in verse 7, and everyone who loves, not who says they love or talk about it. It says everyone who loves demonstrates it. It doesn't say reads about it, professes it, professes to be loving, but he who loves, who actually loves, in other words, it's displayed in many ways, you know, he who loves is the one that's really born of God and knows God. Because a person can say, I love God, I'm a Christian, but not demonstrate love. Just talk about it. It's kind of saying they're not born again. Everyone who loves. In other words, we don't just get saved and then we're a Christian and, hey, everything's all right now. Now we have this responsibility to share the Lord and to demonstrate our love for God by loving others and loving each other. You see? Isn't it easy to get upset with people? Even Christians? You can get upset at times. We can't do that. We've got to demonstrate love. He who loves. God so loved the world he gave. Our actions back up our words. It says that's the one that's born of God and knows God. That's the person that really knows God. And knows this doesn't mean an intellectual knowledge of God. It means you have this relationship with him and you love him. So loving one another relates to knowing God. Love is the sign. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It has amazed me this week. I just saw this video again of the KKK and his supremacist condemning Jews, talking, you know, speaking down at people, the horrible language, the hate, and the wanting, feeling superior to everyone else, and they profess to be Christians. It blows my mind every time they say that. And I thought of this verse today. He who does not love, they hate certain people. And it says right here, he who does not love does not know God. They don't know God. And they profess to, but they don't know God. That's quite a statement that God makes here in his word. If you don't love, you don't know God. Now, how can God make a statement like that? Because of the second part of that verse. Why? For God is love. And if he dwells in you, you will love. Now, I'm not saying sometimes you get upset and you might say something you shouldn't or not like a person. Well, you need to confess and ask God to forgive you and pray for the person and love them. I'm talking about this person where they really don't love others and there's that hate for other people in them. They don't demonstrate love. They demonstrate just the opposite. It says they don't know God. Why? Because God is love. How can he be dwelling in you and not love? You see? So these people that profess that, they don't know God. Once in fellowship with God, who is love, a person will love the brethren. You know, if we have a relationship with God, a true relationship, we will be affected by God. We will be changed. There's a lot of people that aren't born again that think they're okay. But they just live the way they want. You know, being a Christian is a lifestyle and not just an occasional date with God. It's a life. God is love. He's my life. It's not that I go meet with him once in a while. And he's reflected in my life. And it stirs me up to action. We have that compassion and that love. We care for people. Could never put anyone down. And he says in verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested or made known toward us, that he sent his only begotten son Jesus into the world that we might live through him. He says, this is the way God showed you and I his love, displayed it toward us. It's shown in the fact that he sent Jesus, his son, to die for us. That's a great sacrifice. God says, I love you, and I'm going to show you. And you realize that after you come to Christ. Before, you didn't even think about that. But once you come to Christ, you realize, oh, God, he loved me. Always. And he wanted me as his child. And he provided a way. He sent his only begotten son into the world. Can you imagine stepping down from heaven into the world? That's quite a change in the neighborhood. Wow, you go from heaven to the world. That's pretty tough. That we might, so that we could live through him, so that we could have eternal life. He loved us. He sent his son. We were dead in our sins. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God says, I want you to go to heaven. And he's provided a way for us to get to heaven. So God provided a way. He demonstrated his love. Then he tells us in verse 10, and this is love. Now here's real love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He says, you know, it isn't love because I say I love God and now I have this relationship with God and love God. I can only do that because I already have God. I didn't love God before. He's saying, this is love, that God first loved us and sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. You really know when someone loves you, when, boy, you don't deserve it, you're a wretch, and you don't treat them very well, and they do some awesome thing for you, lay their life down for you, and befriend you. You say, wow, you really love me. You went out of your way to do that for me. See, God sent his only son so that sinners might be forgiven. He says, and this is love. This is how we know love, by he sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. We have real love. This true love didn't start with us, but with God. And his love is unconditional. You know, it's easy to react in love when you're loved. Isn't that easy? Person loves you, it's so easy to love back when they're demonstrating their love for you. And it's also easy to react in anger if someone is angry with you. That's emotion. It can change. Today, maybe you had a bad day and you didn't get along with the other person. Or you had a good day yesterday because they loved you and you loved them and everything was great. You say, that's not really love. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us first. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. That means atoning sacrifice. I'm providing a way for you, Jim, to have your sin forgiven and go to heaven. A perfect way, a sacrifice, so you can go to heaven. And that's by me sending my son to this earth to die for you. Everything will be okay because he's the propitiation. God is just. Sin will be paid for, but you don't have to pay it. It'll be paid for by Jesus. Isn't that great love? And in Romans 5:8, it says, he died for us while we were yet sinners. So love is unconditional. It doesn't say, clean up your act and I'll love you. It's unconditional. He demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. You see? He says, that's real love. In other words, it's from me to another person unconditionally, not just on an emotional basis and based on circumstances. I just allow the fruit of the Spirit to flow. And again, you can't work it up. You can just yield to the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think, well, I could never love that way. Or I need some counseling or something because I don't have that in my heart. No, you do. I do. We can't make excuses. I'm indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. I need to look beyond that person and the circumstances and just yield to the Holy Spirit and choose to just be peaceful and love them. That's what God is saying in verse 10. While you were a sinner, I sent my son to die for you, so you could go to heaven. when we didn't even want him. Is that, that's the demonstration of, that's the kind of love that I'm talking about. Never doubt God's love for you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all husbands and wives, parents and children, co-workers, even people in the church just loved each other that way? And I have to say, we have a pretty good loving church. So we're talking about others. But wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone just loved one another? Our life is too short to argue. People harbor ill feelings and argue. Too short. The longer I live, the more I realize that. Don't waste any time on not getting along. It's not worth it. You know, if a person's not talking to another person, they better start today, because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And that's the way we need to love, and that's what God is saying. He says, Jim, you weren't so great when I saved you, but I loved you. And I didn't pull the plug and say, oh, no, he blew it. Boils down to this. Love loves. That's it. Love loves. Just as acting out. And God loved us first. And so we're first to love the other person. And it's great to have the Lord so that we can love this way. You know, I'm sure I hurt God a lot before I became a Christian. Because I'm his creation, whether I'm a Christian or not. I'm sure I hurt God a lot before I became a Christian. But he didn't give up on me. He's not like people. He said, I love you, period. He doesn't cast us off. He sent Jesus to die for our sins. So in verse 10, what God is doing is pointing to the cross to make known his love for us. There it is, right there. What about the thief on the cross? I don't know if he ever did one thing right in his life. Who knows? He was being crucified. He had to be a pretty bad guy. Jesus said, simply because he believed, today you'll be with me in paradise. I'd say that's real love. He didn't have to earn it. He had to just believe. That's grace. That's mercy. See, that's love. What about Paul? In 1 Timothy 1, he says, I was a blasphemer. I persecuted the church, hated them. I was a horrible person, and God saved him. Not only saved him, but allowed him to be a great preacher of the gospel. Isn't that love? That's love. So before we're quick to get down on that person that we can't get along with, we need to think about what real love is. It's got to go from me to the other person. He points to the cross. You know, a sick person needs someone or something to heal them. A sinner needs a Savior to help them and change them. You know, and that's what God did. He sent help. He says, I'll help you. You know, in 1 John 3:1, it says, oh, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. We could go on in 1 John and all the other books that talk about love, and 1 Corinthians. We can go on and on and on every week talking about the same subject. But you know what the sad thing is? We as Christians already have that power within us, and we just choose not to do it. Because it's not something you learn. It's something you yield to. We didn't earn it, the salvation or the Holy Spirit within us. It's up to us to be this way. He sent his son to be the atonement, to make amends for us, the satisfactory sacrifice. We could have done nothing to be made right with God. But God says, here, Jim, here, all of you, I'm going to give you my son. Believe in him and you will be saved. No matter what you ever did in your life, that's love. No, he settles the issue. Our sins are forgiven. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I would say that's fair. You know, if God loves us so much, we should love one another as Christians. Because Holy Spirit indwells us. If God so loved us, well, we definitely ought to love one another. You see, we're the family. And it's demonstrated by our actions. We can't just say it. We have to love to demonstrate that we have love. And it can be little things around you all day long. Not answering back. Building up. Helping. Serving. Just all kinds of things demonstrated by our love. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God, thank you for your word tonight. Please help us to yield to the Holy Spirit and just allow love to flow from us. We thank you that you saved us and set us free. We ask you, Lord, to use us as a light in this real darkness we have around us today. We pray that we would be bold, that we would hate sin, but we would love others, love you. We pray, Lord, that you would keep us from sin and temptation. Help us to not quench the Spirit, but yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And today, Lord, if there's anything in us that is sin, that is not right, please draw us close to you in an attitude of repentance and confession, and cleanse us, forgive us, Lord, and give us that strength to forgive others and not hold anything inside. Lord, we just release all to you. We want to be more like you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.